How do you know that it's time to buy something? How do you know which particular thing to buy? What tells you that it's time to go and eat? What tells you how to decide what you're going to eat? All of these things, we have strategies which we run, which manage all of these things for us. And that's what we're going to look at in today's episode of the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. We're going to take a look at our strategies, what strategies are, how we use them, and how they can be used against us.
You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hey, hello, hello. Great to have you with us again. In this episode, as I mentioned, we're talking strategies. So, I guess the first thing we need to define is what on earth do we mean by strategies? Well, a strategy is, it's like a sequence of processes that occur in the mind and body, which produce a particular result. So something happens and that triggers an outcome. That's what we mean by strategies. And strategies, you can kind of think of a strategy as like a recipe, for example. How to bake a cake, you follow the steps of the recipe. Just like when we're doing something, we follow the steps of the strategy. If you mix up the steps in the recipe, you get a completely different result. Strategies, they can be internal to us, they can be external. For example, if you were learning how to play the piano, for example, how to play the piano, there are strategies that the mind has for playing pianos. External strategy could be your piano teacher teaching you how to play the piano and how to perfect particular sequences. Like when you're mastering scales, for example, there's strategies in there in how to do it. Whereas an internal strategy could be a series of thoughts which produce a particular result. Every time this trigger happens, this process occurs, and that's the result that you get. Now we've got kind of three different categories of strategy. You've got micro strategies. These usually take an instant or a matter of a few seconds, and these are the exact order and sequence of steps that we each use unconsciously to get a particular result, like making a choice to buy something. If we're at a shop and we're choosing which watch to buy, for example, we have a buying strategy that tells us that's the one to buy. Then you've got bigger macro strategies. These are actions that we kind of take in a general area of our life. For example, we might have strategies around our work life. We might have strategies around socializing at parties. In fact, we do have strategies about all of these things. And then we've got what are called meta strategies, and these are kind of like the overarching overall philosophies that we apply to our life, and these will inform and guide our other strategies. For example, one might have a meta strategy of having maximum fun and enjoyment from life. That might be a meta strategy one has for life. Everything else gets guided by that accordingly. But, I mean, we've got strategies for everything that we do. We've got a strategy for getting a job. How do we know we need to get a job? How do we get a job? How do we fall in love? We have love strategies. When our love strategy is fulfilled, we fall in love. We've got strategies for how we deal with money. We've got strategies for sleeping. What tells us it's time to sleep? What tells us it's time to get up? We've got strategies for being on time or being late. We have strategies that run these things. We've got strategies for buying. How do you know it's time to buy something? What specifically has to happen to tell you it's time to buy something? You have a strategy for that. Then, when you're deciding to buy, what tells you which particular thing to buy? We have strategies for all of these different things. Now, most of these strategies, well, it's probably fairly safe to say all of these strategies, they run at the unconscious level. We're not consciously aware of these strategies, not generally. But our strategy always runs in the same way. And it's particularly when we're talking micro strategies, which is what we're really going to look at here today. The micro strategy is a series of steps which kind of have to happen. Now, what makes up these steps? Well, they're made up from things we see, we hear, we feel, we smell, we taste, we touch, things we say to ourselves. Basically, it's all of our senses, or involves some of our senses. For example, you might... when you're buying something, for example, you might first be drawn to the list of features. And then you might see the thing and like the look of it. And then you might need to try it on. And if it feels right, then that's the one to buy. So in that case, your buying strategy would be from the list of features. We call that auditory digital, because we like to give fancy names to things. So it's going to meet your list of features. Then it's going to look right. Then it's going to feel right. So we've got auditory digital, self-talk, list. So we've got the list side, the specs, if you want. So the specs, then it must look right, then it must feel right. That could be your strategy for buying, for example. Somebody else might have a very different strategy for buying. To them, the most important thing, it has to look right first. Then they imagine what it would look like with them using or wearing it. And then they might have a look at the list of features. We all have different strategies. But the important thing is, for any given thing that we have a strategy, that strategy always plays out. It's always the same. So whether you're buying a watch or a cup or a car or anything, whatever your strategy is, you have the same approach. You have the same strategy each time. Now, we can figure out strategies. We can figure out a person's strategy. And sometimes in coaching, it is very worthwhile figuring out a person's strategy. Because once you understand the strategy, you can then help them install a new strategy, a different way to behave. For example, suppose you're terrified of lifts, utterly petrified of lifts. You might have a strategy that tells you it's time to be scared of the lift. For example, you might see the lift and then you might feel yourself stepping into it. Then you might hear the motors clicking in, and that's the point at which, whoa, we freak out. We have a strategy. We see the lift, we feel it, we hear the sound. That means it's time to freak out. That's our strategy for how to deal with a lift. If your coach can elicit that strategy from you, and there's lots of different ways we can elicit someone's strategy, but when they can get that your strategy, they can then mess around with it and help you mess around and change that strategy, so that next time you get into a lift, instead of doing the fear, getting into the lift and doing the fear, you get into the lift and chill. Relax, for example, because you've created a new strategy which gives you a new outcome. Just as, remember a few moments ago, we said a strategy is like a recipe for baking a cake. And if you change the way you do the recipe, you change the outcome. If the recipe says put all the dry ingredients together, mix them together, add the wet ingredients, then get a tin with greaseproof paper, pour the ingredients in the tin, pop it into the oven and bake it. That's how you get your cake. If you do that in a different way around, for example, let's put all the wet ingredients into the tin, bake it, and then we'll pour the dry ingredients in and we'll mix it all up once it's baked. you're going to get a completely different result, yeah? Probably not going to be edible, not very tasty, but a very different result. And it's the same when we do strategies. If you can change the strategy deep at the unconscious level, you can get different results. And that can be very empowering. For example, if you are scared of speaking on stage, you have a strategy about how to handle being on stage. When you can change that so that instead of stepping on stage makes you scared, stepping on stage makes you feel comfortable, courageous even, you have a very, very different way of behaving. Eating, what tells us we're full? What tells us we're full? We have strategies that tell us it's time to eat. We have strategies which tell us how to choose what to eat. We have strategies that tell us when to stop eating. It might be our strategy is we don't stop eating until all the food from the plate is gone. Even if we're feeling a bit, we still have to finish that last morsel. It makes weight loss very difficult. If we change those strategies, the strategy that tells us when it's time to stop eating, so that instead of focusing on what the plate looks like, we focus on how we feel, that could give us a very different result, for example. So there are lots of really positive ways in which strategies can be used. However, as with any tool, it can be misused, it can be manipulated, it can be used to manipulate us. And that's what I want to talk about at this little bit. We'll go into a lot more detail about this in Anti-Manipulation, the book coming out later this year. But I just wanted to give you a little kind of insight into some of this. A particularly good one, we've mentioned it a few times, sales. Sales is a very common area in which well-trained salespeople will use your strategies, elicit your strategies, and use those to attempt to sell to you. Now, how does that work? Well, I mentioned we have a buying strategy. Each person has their own buying strategy. So suppose, for example, that your buying strategy was look at the list of features, look at the product, physically try the product, so touch it, feel it, whatever, and that then tells you it's time to buy. Suppose you walk into, let's take a car showroom as an example, because I know a lot of car dealers are well trained in using these tools to help convince you to buy from them, and that's not manipulating, because you've walked into the car dealer. Chances are you're there because you want to buy a car. It's not a question of will I buy, won't I buy. It's simply a question of will I buy from this dealer or will I buy from that dealer. So this aspect isn't manipulating, but it shows you how this works. If your strategy is, the specs need to be right, it needs to look right, and it needs to feel right. If the salesperson knows your strategy, works your strategy, and says, hey, I've got just the car for you. Look, check out the specs here. The engine size, the performance, check out all those specs. Now look at that car. Doesn't that look gorgeous? Just look at the bodywork. Look at the trim inside. Just look how gorgeous it is. Tell you what, get in, feel it. Feel the steering wheel. Feel those seats under you. How does that feel being in there? If it's the right car for you, you're sold. Okay, it's not exactly that straightforward. Obviously, you've got the finance and everything to work out, but you're much more likely to choose to buy that one. However, suppose the car dealer knows nothing about strategies. You want to buy a car? Oh, awesome. Hey, I've got just the one for you. Listen to this. Starts the engine up. Listen. Listen to that. Doesn't that sound awesome? Go on. Touch the, just feel there. Feel the bodywork. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that feel great? And just listen to how it sounds as we rev that engine. This is the car for you. They are using a completely different buying strategy. You're going to be much less likely to choose to buy that, to buy from them, or to choose to buy that car. Now, as I say, there is a lot more to this. We're just giving a very rough overview, but it kind of gives the idea. And I know it sounds daft, but I have experienced this firsthand when I was in my early days of NLP training, when we were learning about strategies. We all went through an exercise where we would elicit each other's strategies. So you're in your pairs. The other person would elicit my buying strategy. They would then attempt to sell me anything, a pen, for example, a jumper. They would attempt to sell it not using my buying strategy. And then they'd attempt to sell it using my buying strategy. Now, obviously, I wasn't in the market to buy a jumper, so I wasn't going to buy one, obviously. But here's the interesting thing. They attempted to sell using not my buying strategy. I don't want that, no. Then they did the sales thing again, but using my buying strategy, selling the jumper according to my buying strategy. Now, obviously, I didn't buy the jumper because I didn't want to buy the jumper. But the really interesting thing is I could actually feel myself going, actually, I quite like that. It's amazing the difference it makes when we meet or don't meet our strategies. So what's all this got to do with manipulation and anti-manipulation? Sometimes some unscrupulous salespeople will use our strategies against us to try to manipulate us into buying something that we don't want. That's where the manipulation part comes in. They will elicit our buying strategy. And they will then attempt to sell us using our buying strategy as one of their tools to really try and get us to buy the thing. Now, this would have been used a lot in the past with timeshare sales. Remember all the horror stories about people being conned and pushed into buying timeshares when they didn't really want to, but they somehow ended up buying the timeshare and then regretting it for the rest of their life? You can absolutely bet buying strategy manipulation would have been one of the tools that the unscrupulous salesperson would have used to make the person feel much more open to buying it, even though they didn't want it. They ended up getting pushed into buying because they manipulated their buying strategy. It can also happen in any area where they will manipulate, they will elicit your buying strategy and then use that as part of the tools to really push you into buying this thing, whatever they're selling, even though you don't particularly want it. They use your buying strategy against you to manipulate you into feeling, actually, you know, I quite like to buy this. Very, very unpleasant. So, and that is just one of the many things that we cover in anti-manipulation. As I say, more on that book. I'm writing it at the moment. It will be coming out later this year. There'll be a lot more information coming soon. There'll be a crowdfunding campaign to where you can get involved with the book as well and help with the launch of it. There's more coming on that. But I just wanted to give you a taster about strategies. Now, how can somebody figure out your buying strategy? And what can you do to protect yourself against this? I'm going to cover that in the last few moments of this. If you're enjoying this, by the way, if you're enjoying this, if you're finding this useful, please do give us a like, a comment, subscribe, share it far and wide. Give us a good review on your favourite podcast platform. That really does help. And it helps more people get shown the podcast. Share it with your friends. Add comments. Spread it far and wide. And remember to subscribe. So, how can they elicit our buying strategy? And what can we use to protect ourselves against it? There are multiple different ways of eliciting somebody's strategy. In a coaching environment, you may use a very formal way of eliciting it. And it could be something like, okay, so what's the first thing that has to happen that lets you, let's take the scared of a lift example. What's the very first thing that has to happen that lets you know it's time to be scared, that lets you know it's time to do the fear? What's the very first thing that has to happen? Is it something you see, you hear, you feel, you say to yourself? What's the very first thing? And then what's the very next step? And then what's the next step? And what happens if it? So you're very explicitly getting them out. Now, if you walked into a shop or you're in a situation where they're trying to sell you something and say, hey, what's the very first thing that has to happen that lets you know it's time to buy this particular thing? That's immediately going to set you thinking, hang on a minute, something's going on here. They don't do that. You can do it conversationally. For example, you've walked into my shop. You've walked onto my car lot. I can see you're looking at cars. I'm thinking, oh, okay, here we go. This could be somebody who's about to buy a car. They're in the market for a car. I'm going to sell them one. Hey, how you doing? Great to see you. Hey, I love your watch. What made you buy that one? Oh, I knew I was looking for a new watch. I was browsing through the shop window. I saw the specs of this one. It looked really good. I tried the thing on and, you know, I loved it. Wow, cool. I like that. That's a nice watch. Anyway, so you're here about a car, yeah? You're interested in the car. Cool. What sort of thing are you looking for? So we've made a bit of small talk. I've admired your watch. I've made you feel good because you've bought a watch that somebody likes and admires. Hey, yeah, I feel good about that. You're happy to share how you came upon it. You just told me your buying strategy. I can now use that when I'm selling the car. And it can be done that quickly. Now, again, just because a car salesman might use your buying strategy to attempt to sell the car, doesn't mean they're pulling a fast one on you. It's not manipulating you. You've gone there with the intention of buying a car. It's simply a case of, are you going to buy from this dealer or that dealer? But there are other cases where it can be used against you. Just watch out for these. If they ask how you chose a particular thing, they're not necessarily making small talk. It will often happen in that little small talk interaction at the start. And almost like a throwaway thing. But once you've given it away, is that the end of it? Does that mean you're under their spell? No, not at all, not at all. Just be aware when they're selling you, when they're attempting to sell to you using your buying strategy, you can be aware, okay, they're using my buying strategy, right. So obviously I'm going to feel more likely to want to buy this because they're using my strategy. So let me take a step back and consider it a bit more rationally. Do I really, really want this? And it just lets you be a little bit more alert, a little bit more on your guard. And it's not about saying you must not buy. It's simply about letting you be more aware of what's going on so that if you do decide to buy, you're buying because you wanted to, not because they wanted you to. And that's a core part of the whole of everything that we cover in anti-manipulation. And we go into a bit more detail about strategies in anti-manipulation as well, as an entire chapter on it. But it's all about helping you just be aware of what's going on, helping you to avoid being manipulated. It's not about stopping people buying things, stopping people selling things. It's just about enabling you to have the ability to know, okay, they're attempting to push me into buying here. I can see what they're doing. Let me just pause, take a moment to consider, am I buying this because I want to buy it or because they want me to buy it? Forewarned is forearmed, as they say. That's the key. But of course, strategies, as with everything else, they can be used for good or they can be used for bad. The tool itself isn't good or bad, it's just how people use it. And there are huge benefits to working with someone's strategies. So don't get worried about the whole idea about strategies. They're a very powerful thing, they can be very, very beneficial. Just be aware that there are cases where they can attempt to use them against you. But now you know a bit more about them, you can be better prepared. I'm hoping you found this useful. Please let me know what you thought. Is this the sort of thing that you'd like to have more of? What do you think? What are your experiences? Have you ever experienced a case where you felt that you're being kind of pushed and dragged along to buy something and you end up buying it even though you didn't really want to, but it just felt like the right thing to do? Drop me a line if you have, let me know. I'd love to get the details so we can share more of these far and wide as well. That's it for now. Hope you've enjoyed this episode. As I say, please do remember to give us a like, a comment, subscribe, give us a rating, hopefully 5 stars, on your favourite podcast platform. Share it with your friends. And we'll catch you in the very next episode. Until then, take care, look after yourself, and remember, when you master your mindset, you master your life. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.